Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Casey Coleman, Chief Information Officer of the U.S. General Services Administration. Also joining us today from IBM is Ken Beecher. Casey, given your efforts around infrastructure modernization, would you elaborate on your data center consolidation efforts? What are the benefits of pursuing data center consolidation, and what are some of the challenges you're experiencing?
We are looking to pursue a data center consolidation strategy that looks first at our government-owned, government-operated computing facilities, and then subsequently looks at those data centers where we have industry partnerships who are providing that on an outsourced basis, because it's more likely that those industry-provided data centers would have already gone through some optimization, and there's really a lot of opportunity, targeted opportunity within GSA's own government-owned, government-operated computing rooms, computing facilities. So we're doing some consolidation. We're doing some virtualization, doing a lot of server virtualization. GSA itself is not an agency that has an enormous data center population or data center footprint. So for us, it's really more about optimizing what we have than it is about foregoing any huge investment in the future by undergoing consolidation now.
Do you see any challenges from this virtualization, server virtualization? Are you experiencing any unsuspecting challenges that you hadn't anticipated in doing this?
We haven't really yet, but I believe as we get more into the virtualization of those servers that run our critical business applications, that we will have to proceed very, very carefully. So far, our virtualization efforts have been more about those commodity-type functions like file servers that are more static and lend themselves more to first round of virtualization.
Casey, you know, GSA and specifically your office is not short on priorities, especially with President Obama's administration.
No kidding.
We talked about green. We talked about data center consolidation. Let's talk a little bit about cloud computing. Would you tell us more about what the federal government's efforts to leverage cloud computing and what is your agency doing in this area?
GSA is really one of the leading agencies, I think, in terms of understanding and adopting cloud computing. We began our journey when the Obama administration identified cloud computing as a strategic priority, and that was shortly after the president took office. It was one of the first technology priorities to emerge, and joined in with other leaders on the CIO Council to create an executive steering committee and create a definition of cloud computing that really was led by NIST in partnership. And more recently, tackling those impediments to cloud computing, such as information security and the multi-tenant nature of cloud computing, creates some unique challenges in terms of information security. So the CIO Council and the Federal Cloud Program Office stood up the FedRAMP initiative, which is Federal Authorization and Risk Management Program, which is a joint certification and accreditation process that will allow us to jointly certify those common or shared cloud solutions that multiple agencies use. So rather than historically what has been the case, each agency would have undergone its own security process separately, verifying and validating the security protocols for the same solution that they're all receiving as a cloud solution over the internet, we can partner together and jointly approach that ideally once, and benefit from the work that a dedicated team is able to do to secure those things in a way that benefits us all.
In the break, we were talking a little bit about IT as an enabler. What extent is software as a service being used as a key enabler of agility and potential cost savings in the federal government?
Software as a service is one of those things that's taking on a life of its own, really is creeping up everywhere, and in some cases, not even from the agency's IT organization, but really from the program organization. So our goal is to get in front of that trend and to be able to deliver cloud solutions in a way that works for the agency. Email and collaboration is one that we will be announcing soon. We have currently an in-house email system that is not as resilient as we would like it to be in terms of the architecture. It's just the way we've set it up over the many years it's been in operation. By moving to a cloud provider, we expect to get a lot more resiliency, redundancy, continuity of operations, and I hope some economies of scale and efficiencies as well.
Casey, you've touched on IT security a little bit vis-a-vis cloud computing. I'd like to turn it a little bit around and talk about your efforts to combat cyber threats and cyber attacks on your systems. Can you give us a sense and describe for us what kind of cyber attacks you are experiencing, and what are you doing to ameliorate the effects of these attacks?
You know, the federal government is a target as really never before. I mean, we've always been a target, but the intensity, the frequency, and the sophistication of the attacks has really grown in the past 2 to 3 years. So we're a target just like every other agency is. And a lot of the strategies that we're employing in support of our mobility initiative are also intended to help improve our security. So two-factor authentication, the use of an access card to log into the network, requiring not only a password, but also something that you have, a token, a credential, a badge, is one of our tactics. Another is protecting the endpoints better with encryption and with the ability to remotely wipe or to remotely erase a device if it's lost or stolen. We also are employing defense in depth, you know, multiple tiers of defenses so that if anything happens at one point, it's not able to contaminate the entire infrastructure. So we've changed the way we set up administrator passwords and administrator accounts to restrict them, for example, just to the server that they need to be working on and not to use ubiquitous usernames and passwords for any administrative account. Those are some of the strategies that we think are going to make our defenses more robust.
So if we can switch gears a little bit and talk about what you're doing to cultivate a culture of accountability for your employees that complements the cyber and IT security efforts, the defense in depth effort that you're doing. What are you doing around changing people's relationship to personal identifiable information or how they deal with that kind of information and being accountable in securing it?
You know, that's an ongoing challenge because really the ultimate point of defense is the employee, is the individual who has that information and needs to safeguard it. And we do have annual training. We have a pretty aggressive campaign to remind and inform people. And I would say it continues to be a challenge because people are busy and they have mission activities that they need to complete. So everyone, that we are all personally accountable for the safeguarding of the information that we have under our control.
May I ask a question that's a follow-on? It kind of ties together the movement to telework. What are the implications of telework and cultivating this culture of accountability? Do you think there's, by going to telework, we're compromising security at all?
We are vulnerable wherever we are. And I believe it is a misguided sense of security to feel as though when we're inside the corporate office or inside the agency walls that there's an improvement in the security posture. I really think that telework can be a helpful tool in reminding us all to be more vigilant. So it's an aid in cultivating that culture of accountability, because if we were to think that, you know, sitting at our desk, the vigilance can be relinquished, then that's a mistake.
You know, we're talking a lot about technology, and it seems to me that technology keeps moving faster and faster every day. Are federal policies keeping pace with the technology?
I believe policy will always lag behind the most advanced technology developments, just as a state of affairs, that you want your policy to be developed in such a way that it can stand the test of time, not forever, but it need not be changing daily or weekly the way technology is. So it needs to, in one sense, be a bit removed from the most advanced technology developments. We are, however, updating our policies as it becomes evident that there's a trend that has some traction and we need to pay attention to it. So, for example, social media is a priority at GSA. We do not block social media tools such as Facebook and Twitter. We believe there is value in being able to conduct a dialogue with our stakeholders in a public setting as appropriate. And as appropriate is the key phrase. So we have created a social media policy. We actually created it almost 2 years ago now, but that's a lifetime ago in social media terms. So we're in the process of updating it. The interesting thing about it has been, though, that we've all come to the conclusion that social media itself does not really introduce any new policy demands on the part of the agency or the employees. It really is a different communications channel under which all the old policies still apply.
Well, I know that you practice what you preach, especially with social media, and we're not going to go into the sites that you and I are both on. I know you've launched an internal or an external blog called Around the Corner that focuses on the theme of innovation. Why the title Around the Corner?
I once had a boss who encouraged me to always be thinking about what is around the corner, not just what's directly in front of you, what's visible, but be thinking about what are the possibilities that could emerge from an unforeseen direction. And I think that's true of us in technology. Things are always coming at us that we hadn't foreseen because they're changing so fast. So my hope in this blog is really to start to look more broadly at the trends in industry and technology beyond the federal government, academia, private industry, nonprofits, what's going on around the globe, and start to analyze its bearing and its relevance on our role as federal IT professionals.
Does blogging provide a worthwhile management tool for you?
I have two blogs. I mentioned the internal one that I use with my own team and the external one. I think that the internal one is more of a management tool in the sense that it's an opportunity to communicate very directly, very immediately, and to start to give people a sense of camaraderie and teamwork. The external one really is more, I hope, an opportunity for me to reflect in a hopefully a thought leadership kind of fashion about trends that are taking place and to be thoughtful about where our industry is going.
Well, Casey, when it comes to government, the demand from the public has been around accountability, transparency, and driving towards results and outcomes. What are you doing in your current role at GSA to do just that?
You know, GSA, more broadly, is a leading supporter in the transparency and participation, collaboration priorities of the Obama administration. We have a leading role in data.gov and the IT dashboard. My office is participating in the sense of helping to make sure the content that GSA has on those sites is relevant, that it's accurate, that it's fresh, and that it's useful. So we are one of the leading internal offices to try and make sure those data sets on data.gov, for example, are accurate, and then we've got the right kind of information, and that we're also being appropriate about what we're posting, because it's not putting everything up. It's about putting information that's suitable and that is going to be helpful in a public context.
What does the future hold for information technology at GSA? We will ask Casey Coleman, Chief Information Officer at the General Services Administration, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.